Amen. Thank you, Kaylin. Guys and gals. I need to recognize some other people this morning. I've got several members of my family here this morning. I've got my second daughter, Julie, and her husband, Eddie. Wave. And I got two sister-in-laws, Pam and Brenda there, and Brenda's grandson, Matthew, there. And so we're glad to hear. And the other guests, we appreciate you being here. Of course, we're glad to have Whitney and Brian here, and they're going to share about their call to Japan. They're just a blessing to me. I don't want to say too much there, but they'll shoot me if I say too much. Whitney's already threatened me. I cannot cry this morning, okay? Glad to have you all here this morning. And Whitney and Brian, if you come on up, and I'm going to get you a couple mics here. Make sure they're on. Take that one. There it is. We're good.
All right. Okay. Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
It's a blessing to be able to be here with you this morning. It was kind of hectic. Whitney and I were over at Hillcrest in Morristown. And we, slid out the back door very quickly. It was funny because before the church service started there, it was at 10:30, Whitney went downstairs to try to find an exit door, and one of the church members ran into her and was like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "I'm trying to find a door." And he's like, "We are trying to get out." But it's a blessing to be here with you today. And my name is Brian. I'm Whitney's husband. This is my wife, Whitney. And as you can tell from the way I talk, I'm not from East Tennessee. I've always wanted to be an East Tennessean, but I always have been at heart, but I'm originally from North Carolina. I was born in the southeastern part of the state, way down in deep in the sticks of North Carolina. But I do have family from there. Actually, my grandmother grew up in Greene County, so I have a lot of East Tennessee roots here. Whitney and I were married in 2013, as a matter of fact, Thursday will be 4 years that the Lord has brought us together in marriage. And I had been serving in a church in North Carolina, and in 2013, the Lord called me to be a student pastor at another church in Kentucky. Whitney and I met. We packed up. Well, I did. I packed up my stuff, moved out, and we were serving outside of a church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And Whitney was working part-time with another church. And then God called her to begin to enter to a new area of ministry in her life where she was working with the internationals and teaching English to Japanese families. Both Whitney and I have both for some time had a heart for missions. We both, before we were married, God had open up doors of opportunity of service to follow him on the mission field and short-term mission trips. But our first mission trip together immediately was in 2014 with the Lord called us to Romania. And then we went to East Asia not long after that, where Whitney had previously lived as one of your International Mission Board missionaries there. To fast forward over a year ago, we began praying about applying to the IMB. Then in June, we were invited to Richmond to officially interview, and they invited us to this thing called Expo, and Whitney will talk a little bit about that in just a few moments.
When I went with the International Mission Board in 2008, there were only a few ways that you could go as a missionary with our IMB. One of those ways was to go as a single individual, you could go as a married person, or you could go as a retired individual. But in recent years, they've really opened up some new pathways for people like Brian and I to be able to go overseas and serve as IMB missionaries. One of those programs that they've created is called the Macedonia Project. Your International Mission Board requires that every missionary have some theological education, which means seminary. For Brian and I, we're a little bit older, and we got married a little bit older, and we really felt like there was an urgency to go to the mission field now. We didn't want to wait until Brian finished his master's degree or got this theological education, which usually takes anywhere from 3 to 5 years. We really felt like that was something that the Lord had placed in our heart to be able to go now and to share his gospel immediately. So one of those programs that they allowed was the Macedonia Project. So what Brad and I will be doing overseas is we'll be sharing the gospel and living in a cultural context overseas while we're actually doing classes online. Technology is an amazing thing these days. You can do so many things online, and one of those things is education and school. Plus, the great thing about this program is that through the Lottie Moon Giving and the cooperative program, we receive a complete scholarship. We'll be able to do our schooling online while serving in the mission field without having to worry about finances, without having to think about, well, how are we going to raise the money to cover this education, or how are we going to be able to do both of these things at once? So it's really a blessing for us that they've created this program called the Macedonia Project that allows us to go immediately and still fulfill all the requirements that the International Mission Board has.
IMB takes its name, of course, from where we find in Scripture Paul's call to Macedonia. We see in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, God's inerrant and infallible word says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had came to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them."
When Brian and I decided to go ahead and apply for the International Mission Board, we both had a lot of apprehensions and a lot of fears, but we thought we're going to pray through this and we're going to seek God and be obedient to His will. I think a lot of times people think that missionaries are on this plane above everybody else. You know, we think in our mind we have our Sunday school teachers, and then you have your deacons, and you keep going up to your pastor, and then all of a sudden you have this different calling for missionaries. And the truth is, we're just very real people who God has placed a calling in our life to go overseas. Brian plays the drums at our church, that was in Kentucky back home. And one of his apprehensions about going overseas, that he would never be able to play the drums again. And for those of you who are musicians, or maybe you just have a hobby that you really love, maybe it's, scrapbooking, or maybe it's sewing, or maybe it's working on cars. That thing that you love, that's your stress relief, and the thing that you just really enjoy, the gift that God maybe has given you. For Brian, that was drums. And so part of our fear going overseas is that he would never be able to play the drums again. There wouldn't be that opportunity. And through all of this, you're going to see how God has helped us through those fears and how God helps His children in even the littlest things. But as we began this process, the International Mission Board invited us to come to Richmond, Virginia, where the headquarters are, and interview for a position and actually look at jobs. It was what they called Expo. Now, Expo is like a big job fair. You go into this room, and there are all these booths from different places all around the world. And you have representatives there that live in those contexts. Maybe you have a booth of East Asian peoples. And then you have a missionary maybe who's from Africa, South America, all these different places. And our job that week at Expo was to talk to the missionaries there and see if we could figure out a calling. Lord, where were you calling us? Where did you want us to go to seek out these jobs and these positions and these different people groups to see how He was working in our life? It was going to be a 3-day process, and we had 3 days to decide to see if this is what the Lord had for our life.
So about the second evening of our time there, we're around other families, and they're like just all giddy and excited, and like, we feel like God's calling us to go here, and we feel like this is a perfect place for us, and this call of ministry here really suits like my talents and giftings and all this stuff. And so Whitney and I, we're sitting there on the couch, and we're both looking at each other wide-eyed, because I was wide-eyed anyway, but I was just like, well, what's wrong with us? You know, Father, are we even supposed to be here? You know, why have not we felt something that has been like special that we feel like we just can't stay, you know, leave. You know, we came with at least I did, with, and I know Whitney did as well, with a open heart. We didn't come with any preconceived idea of, Father, where you want us to be? Where would you have us to serve you at? We wanted to make sure that our hearts were open to wherever he would take us. But yet, to this point, we didn't feel like there was anything that we were really suitable for. And you realize that a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I know it has been for me in my life, that every time God wants to do something in your life, ain't it amazing how Satan wants to try to bring a roadblock, or he wants to try to bring doubt, or he wants to try to bring disbelief, and he wants to try to bring discouragement in whatever God calls you to in obedience to serving him. And he's always a deceiver, right? And so we were sitting there, and we were battling that spiritual warfare. But during that second evening, we were just like almost in tears. But that was whenever we just trusted God and said, Lord, we know you have us here. Father, whatever your will is, may it be done. And so we began to see how God began to work in that. We got connected with a family who has been there for 10 years. This family are going to be our supervisors, and we began to talk with them about a call of ministry there in Takasaki, Japan. There's a small group of believers there, about 30, in a city that's about the size of Nashville, Tennessee. That's how lost that city is. And whenever we began to talk with them about the spirit, the spiritual needs there, the lostness, the darkness there, the reality that there are so many unreached people there. That pressed upon our heart anyway, but whenever we began to see how there was so many needs, they needed someone to come and help with teaching English. Well, Whitney already was doing that in Bowling Green with families. They needed help with worship in the church. They hardly have any kind of worship through song, and they needed someone to play the drums. Well, as Whitney was sharing earlier, I was like, hello, here I am. That's me. But that was just some of the things that God began to bring a revelation about, that, we began to see how he had crafted us to, uniquely fit that call of ministry there. We were just in awe, and our heart's desire a little bit was to go to China. Whitney had previously served in China. She knew the language. She knew the culture. She knew
the food's really good.
It's really good. If you get a chance, please go. But don't go just to eat. Go share good food, everlasting food, right? But, God was uniquely calling us to Takasaki, Japan. And so, and it was basically our Macedonia call, because we were looking at two other places, but they just didn't seem right. But Japan was saying, here, we need you. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to be here. And so we wanted to be obedient to that, and that's what led to this point.
In the last month or so, we've transitioned a lot. We've changed a lot. We've tried to learn a lot about Japanese culture. As Brian mentioned before, I went with an open heart to this expo, but I really kind of felt in my heart that we were going to go back to China. And so I knew China. China was comfortable. I knew about the culture. I had lived there. And so when God changed all that, I needed to start learning some more about Japan. So we went home. We told our church family. We packed up a lot of things, and we decided to have one big giant moving sale. And I think I'm Facebook friends with a few of you also. You might have seen this, and if you have seen this story, just forgive me for telling it again. But, God took care of Brian's fear about playing the drums and his apprehensions and some other things. One of my fears, I'm just a planner by heart, and I thought, how are we going to get rid of all this stuff? If you've ever moved, you'll just be shocked about how much junk you accumulate in a short period of time. We had only lived in this little house for 4 years, but it seemed like this stuff just kept multiplying. And I thought, how am I ever going to get rid of all these things? And so we decided that we were going to have a huge moving sale. We were also going to maybe give some things to our church and give some things to Goodwill. And then after that, I just didn't know. So about a week before the moving sale, I just really started praying, God, can you help me some way, somehow, get rid of all of these things that I don't need? I can't take them with me. We can't take them in moving to Tennessee. And that was really a fear for me. God, how are you going to handle this? I just don't know. But the morning came of the moving sale, the yard sale, and we started at 8 o'clock, and it was really slow. And I thought, this is just not going anywhere. 10 o'clock came. It was still slow. We'd had a few people from our church, but that was about it. 12 o'clock came, And this stuff is still on tables and still sitting all out there. And about 1 o'clock, we were supposed to wrap up about 1:30. About 1 o'clock, a gentleman from our church came. And he was talking to another individual from our church on the phone. And he said, Mr. Joe wants to know how much for it all. And I said, what? And he said, he wants to know how much you would take for everything. And I said, well, he doesn't want everything. There's like stationery here and scrapbook stuff and shoes. Surely he doesn't want everything. He said, no, how much does he want for everything? And that was a way that God had answered my prayer in my heart. I had apprehensions about how is this going to all take place and how is this going to happen. But God said, I've got this. And the man literally came and bought every single piece of clothing, every single piece of paper that we had, and loaded it up on a trailer. Now, what he did with it, whether he started an eBay account or not, I'm not sure. But God answered our prayer in that way. Takasaki, Japan is a city, as Brian said, of almost 400,000 people. I think 380,000 to be exact. Japan is an open country. For those of you who grew up in GAs and RAs or missions, an open country means that there are no government laws, there are no restrictions about going in and sharing the gospel. This is unusual for East Asia because many countries, as you know, over there are completely closed to the gospel. They have a population in their country of about 126 million people, and of those people, 99% of them are lost. Meaning less than 1% of the people of Japan, of that 126 million, have ever been exposed to the gospel, have ever even heard the name of Jesus Christ. We learn that because their ethnicity is all one group, they are the largest unreached people group in the world in an open context. They desperately need the gospel. When I was teaching Japanese families English in Bowling Green and tutoring with them, when we came home from Expo, I started to ask them about Takasaki, and I wanted to know a little bit more about this city, and every single student I asked said they'd never heard of it. And so I went back to Brian and I said, we need to get on Google or Wikipedia because I'm a little concerned. And so the next week they all would come back and said, well, I looked up Takasaki, Japan, and it's very, very rural, very country. And so growing up in Greene County, Tennessee, I thought, well, I know what country is. I can deal with country. But then, as we started to research a little bit, their version of country was over 400,000 people. So.
And just sharing, too, the fact that we all are missionaries. God's called us to a new Jerusalem, a new place, which we're going to the other ends of the earth but from here. But whenever you think about the reality of that, we all are missionaries because God has given an invitation for each and every one of us to partner and be a part of His plan and His purpose of making His name known to all people. Amen. So that the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed here in this community. That it's proclaimed here within this great state of Tennessee, to this country, and then to wherever and beyond. God gives us all that invitation. Not an option, but God has given us a command to be about being about the Great Commission. Amen. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I think about the story. I preached a message on Abraham here a while back, and I was like, here's a man on up in age, but God had a plan, a unique plan at like 75 years of age, that God would take him out of his obedience, that he would bless the world through his obedience. So it doesn't matter how old you are to how young you are, God has uniquely designed each and every one of you with spiritual giftings and a great grand purpose of helping reach a lost and dying world to eternity. That you can share the bridge for a lost person to be raised from spiritual darkness into spiritual life. God has given you that opportunity and that command to go and to reach these people. Japan is 99% lost. You know, we're so blessed this morning to have worship, and we have nice chairs, and we have nice carpets. We have churches on every corner. We have air conditioning. I've been in places where you have to sit on, most people sit on the ground to hear the gospel preached. I mean, aren't we blessed? Amen. We're fixing to go to a place where they're having church in a doctor's office. But the church is not about the building. It's about the what? It's about the people. It's always been about the people. And our conviction is that how can we sit in the comfortableness of ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ in a Western context and go through the motions of church each and every Sunday when I know for the fact of what eternity says in the Scripture is going to happen to the lost if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because we still believe in hell, right? Amen. Do we not believe in hell? And if we believe in hell and we're convicted about hell and we realize the fact that God has rescued us and given us the gift of eternal life to be with Him, then how can we not take this gift that God's given us and share it with somebody else? Whether it's with you beside the person you at work, to the person beside you in your family, to the person beside you in your church, to wherever God has positioned you, man, eternity is real, and these people's eternity rests in your hands to be an influence and helping them see the beauty of who Christ is. Amen. Through your life and your call of ministry. I'm excited about going. I'll just be honest with you. Drums is a minor thing when it comes to people knowing about Christ. How I will speak the language, I don't know, but I know that God does. Just as much as God called Paul to Macedonia, Paul went with just an open heart and saying, okay, this is where you want me to go. And through his obedience, I'm so thankful today that you and I are able to be here and know Christ because he was obedient to the Lord. The Lord called him to go and he went. And we're so blessed to be able to take part in that privilege. I don't know how I'm going to speak Japanese. I do good to speak English. Amen? But I know God does. And I just want to challenge you. Wherever you are in your life, man, share the gospel. Love on people. Let them know, not just by your words, but more importantly through your actions, that God loves them and that He lives within you. Amen.
Our heart's desire really is that you would partner with us and that you would go with us to Japan. This is not the Brian and Whitney show. This is about taking the gospel to the nations, and you all play a big part in that if you will allow yourselves to be obedient to what the Lord is asking you to do. One of those such ways I just want to share a little bit about is through the International Mission Board. You've heard us talk about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You've heard us talk about cooperative program giving. And what that means, if you're not aware of all of that, 100% of what you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and a portion of your cooperative program giving goes straight to help people like Brian and I so that we can live overseas. Let me just tell you a couple things really quick that it helps provide for us that we don't have to worry about. As I mentioned before, our education to help us give knowledge in God's Word and how to more effectively share the gospel is completely paid for. Our travel to and from the field, as well as transportation in our country of Japan, is completely paid for. Our housing will be paid for, as well as ministry expenses, things like Bibles, discipleship material. If we can get a hold of things like worship CDs, even in their own language, all of that is provided for because of you all. When you support us, it pays for our language classes to learn Japanese. I read somewhere a while back on the internet that for an individual to go to another country and take language classes for 1 year would be anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000. So for both of us, that would be, you know, $10,000 or $12,000. And that's something that we don't have to worry about because of your Lottie Moon Christmas offering giving. So we're very, very thankful. So one of the ways that you can partner with us is giving. And Brian's going to talk about a couple other ways that you can partner and go with us to Japan.
Amen. I want to share Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 15 with you. And Paul writes, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek." Amen. Ain't it good to know that we have a God that doesn't see color, that He sees souls. Amen. "For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what the Scripture says. Amen. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" Paul says here in finishing, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. the beautiful thing about this scripture is that it's not about the individual. It's not about his feet, but it's about the message of the good news that you're able to proclaim to the lost. Amen. That's what's beautiful. We ask that you just think and consider and partnering with not just with us, but in ministry of any kind, whether it's through what you've seen through disaster relief today, whether it's through local ministry within this community, the needs within your area around your church of families that are in dire need, whatever it takes to reach this community, we want to encourage you to go. But we also want to always leave an open invitation to come to Japan, but take part in whatever God's doing within you personally. How can you partner with us in Japan? Well, first of all, praying. Pray that the people of Japan would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And for God to work through us as we try to communicate the good news to those who have never heard the gospel message. We want to continue to encourage you to give and partner through giving. Giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That's a beautiful way that you can personally invest in the good news of Jesus Christ reaching to the utter ends of the world. And then go. We're looking to have teams and people that would say, like Isaiah, here I am, Father. Send, here I am, use me. Here I am, send me, take me, Father. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to go. Come. By next year, next summer, 2018, our supervisor has said we'd love to have teams and churches that you're connected with to come and come over and help serve with us to reach these people who need to hear the good news. So come. We would love to have you. We will also be having a monthly email blast where we will be updating about what God's doing there in Takasaki and through to the nation of Japan. So sign up for that email blast. Pastor Steve will have an email sign-up sheet that he'll have here at the church, and we'll take those names, and we'll add you to our email blast to inform you on things of spiritual needs. There's a lot of spiritual warfare there. There's a lot of darkness there, and so we want you to be continually praying that the Scripture says that the truth exposes darkness, right? Light shines out of darkness, and so Jesus is the light, and we pray that he would just illuminate and everything that we say and do as a team there. There's also a prayer card that you can take with you that will have our information. We have a Facebook page, a social media page that you can find. It's private, but we'd love for you to join in that. We'll be doing updates on that as well. Email, Facebook, and also a bookmark that you can have to put it in your word that would also remind you to pray for the nation of Japan to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We just want to say thank you for letting us come today and share with you about what this call of ministry is, because that's what it is. It's a call of ministry, and we're representing you. We are your hands and feet in the nation of Japan, along with the other families there. Not many. And we pray that we would see more there to reach a lost nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's any questions, you're welcome to ask. You can ask us now, or if you have any questions after the service, we would love to spend time with you, and we'll pray with you about any specific calling maybe that you have that you feel like the Holy Spirit's been laying on your heart recently. We just thank you for letting us come and be a part of your worship service today. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Whitney and Brian. And I'll fill in some gaps on a few things on the information there they've talked about. And they mentioned a cooperative program. Lottie Moon Christmas offers in December. Whatever we give when we take up that offering in the month of December, 100% goes to help people like Whitney and Brian, our missionaries, all over the world. We have close to 5,000 around the world right now. Also, too, when you give in your regular offering, it's 7%, right, Mike, that we give to the cooperative program? So 7% of everything we give on Sunday morning goes to the cooperative program for ministries, from our seminaries, everything. But a lot of it goes to the missionaries around the world. So when we give, every time we give a dollar in the church, some of it is going to help people around the world to share the gospel with others. I have a little email sign up here for their newsletter that talked about the Jackson's journey to Japan. I'll put that on the back table. Also, two back there on the back table, I've made some copies of this, and if we need to make more, we can. It's prayer for the people of prayer for the Japanese people. It's a 1 month daily calendar of items that you can pray for each day for the people of Japan. And so I want you to pick up one of those that are on the back table back there. Also, to Whitney, she had a little graphics ministry there for a while, though she didn't want me to talk about that. Okay. Anyway, she designed her bookmark and her little prayer card. And there's some of those back there on the back table. But one of those, you can take that and put it in your Bible. This will fit in your Bible. But put that in a handy place and to pray for Whitney and Brian as they go overseas, that God will just meet every need physically, spiritually, materially, whatever it may be. Also, there's some bookmarks back there from the International Mission Board about praying for our missionaries. And also a little booklet from the IMB on 15 spiritually needy cities of Japan. So love for you to get that stuff and just kind of avail yourself to that. Also, too, they spoke at the pastor's conference this past Monday, and Brian mentioned about teams next year or visits next year. And I know some of the other pastors, they were already talking about maybe to put a team together from several churches together, maybe two or three here, two or three another church. I know when we first started going to Romania from Russellville, we partnered with Alpha Baptist Church. So we'll try to get that information that you say, well, I'd love to go to Japan. And it's a wide open country. In that regard, you don't have to worry about your visa or anything like that, or going in to help with mission work, that anybody's going to, if you were in China, kick you out or send you back home in a hurry. That doesn't exist in Japan. They're wide, freely open to the gospel there and sharing. So be praying about that. Amen. And I don't pray you be praying for Brian and Whitney. And let me just ask you this. How many of you this morning that you will commit right this morning to say, I will pray for Whitney and Brian as they head out? Bless you. They're going to be going to visit with his mom and dad for two or three weeks here. And then they'll be heading to Richmond, Virginia for training till about Thanksgiving. And when they get finished with their training there, they'll have a few days with family and friends again, and they'll be flying out to Takasaki for 4 years. So I want you to be praying for them. Don't forget that. Amen. And I want to just take time a moment just to pray for them, okay? Lord, I thank you for Brian and Whitney. I thank you for their heart for you and for the nations, the people of Japan. Lord, I thank you that you've put those people on their hearts. Lord, we praise you because before they were ever on Brian and Whitney's heart, they were on your heart. Lord, you want to see them saved. You want to see them in a relationship with you. Lord, you want to see the Japanese people gather around your throne in heaven. Lord, your word says there'll be people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue around the throne praising you one day. Lord, we want to see Japanese people there along with all the others. Lord, just meet their every need physically, spiritually. Give them health, strength, grace, and wisdom. Lord, provide for every need as they go through the transition of learning and training and, Lord, in their schoolwork, and Lord, as they go there and finding a place to live and transportation and acclimating themselves to the culture. And Lord, I pray that you just meet every need. Show yourself strong on behalf of them, Lord. Help them to know each and every morning when they get up, Lord, give them your peace, your understanding, your presence. Lord, we thank you for their obedience to your call. Lord, may we all be that way. Lord, I pray that you just help us to be about your business of sharing the good news with each and every one we come in contact with. And we give you thanks in Christ's name. And amen.